In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. What's the world coming to? Have you found yourself wondering that lately? I mean, as you hear the news, it often seems like the world is just falling apart. The war in Ukraine that just does not end. Other countries apparently preparing for wars. Governments in turmoil. Natural disasters. What's the world coming to? And not just the world, but our own country. So many people supporting abortion and country leaders trying to find ways to keep it going at any cost because of the Supreme Court's decision coming up in a few weeks. The senseless shooting in Buffalo, New York, as well as the record-breaking homicides in Baltimore. Gas and food prices, shortage of baby formula. What are Christians to do? Scattered throughout a pagan world that seems to thrive on hatred, violence and oppression. What are Christians to do when we feel we are a minority, out of place, out of step, out of time? With the world falling apart all around us, what are scattered Christians to do? Pray. We can always pray with confidence because we come in the name of Him who has overcome the world. We can always pray with confidence because we come in the name of Him who has overcome the world. As we saw last Sunday, chapter 16 of the Gospel of John is part of Jesus' farewell speech to his disciples on Maundy Thursday night. Verse 25 today says that he has told them many things using figures of speech, like, I am the way and the truth and the life. I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. A little while and you will see me no longer, and again a little while and you will see me. Jesus had been speaking to his disciples in rather obscure language, not necessarily in metaphor or in parables, but in such a way that the meaning of what he spoke was ambiguous because he wanted to convey a spiritual truth. However, that time was coming to an end. In Luke 24, following the resurrection, Jesus opened his disciples' minds to understand the scriptures. What had been veiled in figurative speech would then be revealed completely to them. But before that happened, in John chapter 16, Jesus is building his disciples up to endure the future. All too soon, they will be scattered, for soon he will be betrayed. The hour has come, Jesus says in verse 32. The disciples could not imagine living in a world without Jesus. Yet in a few hours, that's just what they will experience. They will watch Jesus' arrest, trial, crucifixion, and death, which could then lead them to truly ask, what's the world coming to? In the face of uncertainty, Jesus reassures them. He assures them of his victory in verse 33. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Though Christ had yet to endure his passion on the cross, the outcome was assured. It was as good as completed. Jesus would accomplish the task set out before him by the Father. Jesus would conquer the world through death and resurrection, just as he would defeat death and Satan. So if Christ has overcome this troubled world, we can be confident about our futures. Yet, we often still feel less confident about our future in this world. I remember in 2014 when Brazil hosted the Soccer World Cup and some Brazilian players looked so confident and made claims that they would definitely win the tournament. History tells they didn't, and I watched that. Other professional athletes have made such claims only to have their teams lose, but this kinds of predictions are present everywhere. I'm sure we are going to see them during our elections this year. The problem with making guesses about the future is that predictions often ended up being wrong, even with the most reliable information. Of course, we would have to be uncertain about our future if we are predicting the future without remembering the words of Jesus. Without his words, all we can do is ask, what's the world coming to? Without his words, we agonize about the future. We worry about the world. We wrestle with our country's problems. We forget that Jesus tells us in verse 33, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. We overlook the cross and resurrection. By them, Jesus is able to say, take heart, I have overcome the world. We even neglect the future, not trusting when Jesus says in verse 28, now I'm leaving the world and going to the Father. So what are Christians to do? What are we to do scattered throughout a pagan world that seems to thrive on hatred, violence, and oppression? Pray. In the midst of all the uncertainties of this world, Jesus assures us that we can pray with confidence in his name. As the disciples face their uncertainties, he tells them that whatever they ask the Father in Jesus' name, the Father will give it to them. Until this point, the disciples had only asked questions and favors of Jesus, but had not asked anything in his name because he was still there with them. Now Jesus tells them that the time is coming to pray in his name directly to their heavenly Father because they would no longer have him there. So they must seek his help in a new way by asking the Father in Jesus' name. Through his life, death, and resurrection, Jesus has given us direct access to the Father. Jesus has given us the Father's ear. The work of reconciliation has been completed on the cross, and the Holy Spirit has been given to us through the Word and the sacraments, making us his reconciled children. And as his children, our prayers are addressed to God as the Father in the name of his only begotten Son, Jesus. Of course, just adding in Jesus' name, Amen, to whatever we ask to God will not make a prayer in the name of Jesus. To be such in spirit and in truth, our prayers must be offered by a heart believing in the redemption of Christ and filled with the Spirit of Christ, having the same mind as Christ, putting the interest of others first. To such a prayer, there is in reality no limitation or condition set by the Lord. No wonder that to such a privilege of a praying child, the promise is attached to a perfect and boundless gratification. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Any gift that had been strongly desired, hoped for, and asked for bring joy to the heart of the recipient. Even the gifts that we never thought of, even the gifts that may not seem as good according to our standards. But the perfect joy and the satisfaction of our deepest yearnings will come one day in our eternal life with Jesus. In the New Jerusalem, the holy city described today by John in the book of Revelation as having the glory of God as its light. There is no darkness there. The gates are never locked, for there is nothing to hurt or harm us, since the Lamb Jesus has defeated all his enemies. There, our joy will be perfectly full. Since the death of her husband, Mary spent much of her free time watching television. She found herself dwelling on the horrible, horrific events described, especially by the evening news. She worried about wars and violence and earthquakes, tornadoes, floods. Her friend and next-door neighbor, Daisy, noticed Mary's pessimism about the world. And concerned that Mary was just getting depressed, Daisy brought a cake over to Mary's one afternoon. And the two friends sat at the kitchen table, drinking coffee and eating lemon cake. But then Mary asked, "Doesn't what's going on in the world bother you, Daisy? Don't you worry about the wars and violence and starvation in the world?" Daisy sipped her coffee and said, "Yes, those things do trouble me. But I don't think too much about them. They are all I can think about. They make me feel so awful," Mary said. "How do you keep from letting the evil in this world get you down?" And Daisy just smiled. "You know, Mary, it gets me down at times. But then, I remember how right before he died on the cross, Jesus told his disciples, 'Take heart, I have overcome the world.' Jesus is still in charge, no matter what. Evil things happen all the time. But we can always go to God with our concerns, knowing that in the end, through his sacrifice on the cross, Jesus has already taken care of all those things on the news. Even death couldn't prevent him from taking care of us. He will be with us and with the whole world too." Because of Jesus, we have a close relationship with the Father. Jesus says in verse 27, "For the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God." As a Christian, we have no need to ask, "What's the world coming to?" Instead, we ask whatever we need to our God the Father in the name of Jesus, who has overcome the world. In Jesus' name, amen.